Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson today is a continuation of the Father's business that Jesus accomplished while here upon this earth. Jesus had asked the question of Mary and Joseph, "Know ye not that I must be about the Father's business?" Well, what was the Father's business that Jesus accomplished? Well, we cited several things in our last lesson, and we want to mention some more today. It is very plain as we study the life of Christ here upon this earth that it was the Father's business for him to be a deliverer for man from the bondage of sin. In Romans 6, verse 16 through 18, it teaches that we are servants of that which we obey. We obey sin, we are the servants of sin. We obey righteousness, we're the servants of God. And once there was no deliverance from sin, not until Christ came to be that deliverer, and as a result of him doing the Father's business, mankind need not fear any more the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. But Christ has been a deliverer from that doom and destruction. And Job once asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14:13. Jesus answers that question. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Paul affirmed that victory over death was a part of the accomplishment of Christ and can be the accomplishment of man. And it is through Christ that we can have victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, friend, this deliverance is possible because Christ delivers us free from the guilt of sin. John the Baptist announced when he was pointing to Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," John 1 and verse 29. And it is by his truth that we can be made free, John 8 verse 32. It is because of him that we can have life abundantly, John 10 and verse 10. This deliverance from sin, this deliverance from the death unto life, Jesus was doing the Father's business to make that possible for people like me and you. Furthermore, all Christians are priests, 1 Peter chapter 2, a royal and holy priesthood, even indeed, as John said, a kingdom of priests, Revelation 1:6. You see, we have a high priest, and that high priest, of course, is Christ, Hebrews 3:1. And his priesthood is special, as noted in earlier lessons that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which was superior to the priesthood of the Levitical tribe. And even now, Hebrews 7:25 tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ is the one mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the one mediator, but he is also an intercessor on our behalf. He accomplished the reconciliation with God that man needs, being our peace, Ephesians 2:14. And he accomplished it by the shedding of his blood on the cross, Ephesians 2:16. This peace is enjoyed in that one body, and that one body is his church. We are no longer alienated from God. We are not without hope. We have salvation. We have reconciliation with God. And it's all been made possible by and through Jesus Christ. And there's none other to whom we can look for this relationship with God and this salvation. Acts 4 and verse 12. So when we ask, why did Jesus come to this earth? And we learn it was to do the Father's will. Is it not evident that providing for our reconciliation with God, whom we offend when we sin, that was a part of his role. That's what he was doing. That was the Father's business, so we can be at peace with God. And furthermore, we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that he was to succor or provide and supply, provide for those who are tempted to sin. Christ, of course, was tempted to sin. There's no sin to be tempted. The sin is yielding to temptation. Christ was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because he was tempted, friend, he knows how to provide for us when we are tempted. Having taken on the form of a servant in the likeness of men, Christ understands man. He can and does understand what man needs. He's qualified not only to sympathize, but he knows, and he cares, and he provides. There are three avenues of temptation that are used against him and used against us, the same things that were used against Eve in the Garden of Eden. But Christ overcame temptation. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows how it can be overcome, because he did it. It is not, as I said, a sin to be tempted. But even though we do not seek temptation, we pray, lead us not to temptation. But nonetheless, we're going to be tempted while we're here in this world. When Christ came to this world, it came not to immunize us from being tempted. He came to equip us to defeat temptation. We are still frail, we're still weak at times, and Paul certainly recognized this with himself when he said he had to keep himself under control, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, lest after he had preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. But adequate provision for us has been made, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Friend, deity did not become flesh in order to understand man. Deity has always understood man. Deity created man. But deity became flesh so that man could know that deity understands man. Deity knew and understand man even if he had never taken on the form of flesh. But nobody can ever say that our Lord, when he's tried and tempted, the Lord, you just don't understand. Yes, he knows. He does know. And he can know. And he has provided for us. He supplied what we need to face and overcome temptation. And in doing that, he was doing the Father's will. He provides us the strength through his word and by his providence. He guides, he comforts, he sympathizes, he cares. You see, he is a present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1, Hebrews 13, 6. When he was doing this, he was doing the Father's will. And what more can we say? Friend, our Lord Jesus was doing the Father's business when he gave us an example to imitate in life. Peter says we're to walk in his steps, 1 Peter 2:21. He was doing the Father's business when he showed God to mankind in a way that man had never seen God before. For to see Christ is to see the Father, not that they are the same person, but they're same in nature, the same in purpose. We see deity in Jesus Christ. He became the God that we might be just. And because justice demands sin, sin must be punished. He came to be the one who executes justice, but also to be the justifier of those who are guilty of wrongdoing. Hebrews 3 and verse 26. You see, justice and mercy, they met at the cross of Christ. And God doesn't look upon evil and good just alike, friend. But he made provision to exact justice against the evil, but at the same time to offer mercy toward that which is good. That was doing the Father's business. It was the business of Jesus Christ to become the King of Kings. In John 18 and verse 37, he came to establish a kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom, not a kingdom of this world. He is the King of Kings, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:15, and his kingdom became a reality on the first Pentecost after his resurrection. Often Scripture says of the events pertaining to him that he came that it might be fulfilled, speaking of the prophecies that had been made concerning the Messiah. His work included the fulfilling these promises and these promises that God had given. And these things showed him to be the Messiah that God had said was to come and that he would provide. And furthermore, he came to reveal the truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You see, his work embraced seeking and saving the lost, ministering to others, saving to the uttermost. There are so many expressions in the New Testament that describe to us what it is about Jesus doing the Father's business. Well, what he came to do, he did, and he accomplished it successfully. John 4 and verse 34, he said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 5 and verse 36, For the works which the Father hath given me to finish. In John 17 and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You see, friend, when the Lord died, among his last words he said, It is finished. Well, there are a number of things that were finished. His life on earth was certainly finished, and because he was about to die, the law of Moses was finished because it was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14, and the plan of salvation was finished except for his inevitable resurrection. Indeed, the Father's business had been accomplished. That which he was sent to this earth to do was finished. And we can be saved from our sins. We know to whom the credit of all that belongs. And God saves us by his love and by his grace and by his mercy. This is evidenced in the blood of Christ on the cross. But to be saved, we must meet the conditions of his will, to come to him on his terms in order to receive those blessings. We have a part in doing the Father's business also. We must love him and obey him. We are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are to repent of our sins. We are taught to confess our faith in Christ. And as Jesus and the apostles and the inspired writers said, we must be baptized for the remission of sins and then live faithfully in the paths and footsteps of Christ. Jesus asked once, Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Well, we need to ask ourselves, do we not know that we also ought to be about the Father's business? If we are, heaven will be our home. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.